But we're going to talk about something different this morning. My name is Rob, in case you haven't met me before. Uh-oh, there we go. I don't particularly want any more for me to be announced, because I'm a friend of this church. I'm part of you. I might have to shift over. This could be on my end. So let's try a little more. This is the first sermon of the year. Amen? I hope for Pastor Mark's sake it won't be your last sermon of the year. So I'm going to try to hold the standard up. It's also a time of year when we often begin to reflect on what things have been like and maybe even set some goals for the new year. So you've had 5 or 6 days to think about it. How many of you set new goals for the new year? Wow, like 8 of you. 9, okay, maybe some more. Look, I want to recommend that setting goals is a good thing. We beat ourselves up about the resolutions that we start and we don't finish. We're going to read the Bible every single day this year. And then by February, we give up. Don't be discouraged by your lack of perfection. It's more about persistence than it is about perfection. So this morning, I do want to suggest that we kind of take a look, take a pause and see where we are in our faith. Because you can't really set goals for where you're going until you have a good assessment of where you are. It's not to condemn us, it's to know what road we're on and how to get started. So we're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture this morning. So before we do that, let's pray. Father God, as we open your word, we know that your word is perfect. It is full of life and not condemnation. But we ask you in the name of Jesus to open our eyes and our ears to the fullness of your grace and your mercy and your willingness to address everything in our lives from this moment forward as we open our hearts and ears to your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you bring Bibles with you, if you want to look up on the screen, I want to invite you to open up to Mark chapter 5. This is a familiar story that includes two characters. We're going to look at both characters this morning. Starting with verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and lived." So Jesus went with him. So let's take a look at Jairus first this morning. His role as a synagogue leader was similar to a local pastor. He weekly gave messages. He kept the congregation in the word. He deciphered the word. So he was very religious in his upbringing and understanding. His job was to keep the word of God and the law of God to be pierced unto truth and to only live very, very rightly dividing truth. That was his life. That was his actual profession. But sometimes we run across something that our religion and training doesn't give us answers for. Anybody ever been in a place that you ran into something that you didn't think God had an answer for? If you haven't, you will. But don't be discouraged. See, this man was willing to risk his theology, and I would say even the box that he had put Jesus in and God in, he was willing to risk it because some religion. And that was the life of his daughter. You may come across something that is so important in your life that you are not willing to lose, that you're willing to risk everything with God in order to gain. When he took a great leap of faith, and it was a great leap of faith because he risked his social standing, it might be akin to a very conservative Baptist preacher deciding to go to a charismatic or Pentecostal faith healing that he heard about because he had tried everything else and he was willing to try even that. And I don't say that to disparage either. I'm saying the contrast, you got to realize what he was stepping out of and willing to risk, the mocking and the opinions of other people. But even when he took that risk, he came to Jesus and said, "Come and help my daughter to heal." He had heard of his healings, he had heard his teaching, but now he was saying, "Come to my house and do this." And as great as a faith as that was, he didn't even have the faith of the Roman centurion, who said, "I don't need you to come to my house. You're a man of authority. Even if you say the word, my servant will be healed." And Jesus marveled at his level of faith. See, Jairus was still thinking of the old ways, the ways he had been taught. This is how healing has to occur. There's another woman who's the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was stricken with a demon. Now she was risking that she could even be not just so, she was already socially out of the Jewish culture. She was risking everything to say, "Will you just heal my daughter?" And Jesus said, "But I didn't come for your people, at least not yet." And she said, "But even the dogs take the scraps from the table. If you would just heal her." And Jesus was marveled at her faith. I'm reminding you of these stories this morning because I want you to realize that you don't need a great faith for Jesus to be great. You need to give him a chance. This year, are you willing to take a deeper plunge with Jesus? Whatever that may look like. See, what Jairus found was a Jesus of patience because he met him right where he was. He didn't chastise him like, "I don't need to come to your house. I can do it right here." He had patience and he had power and he walked with him. And I'm saying this morning, he'll walk with you wherever you are if you're willing to trust him to whatever the next level is. So let's pick up the story, continuing again in verse 24. So this is as he's moving to Jairus' house. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up from behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Verse 30. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowded around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling in fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from her suffering." Now, this woman comes from a very different place. The religious leader had to humble himself and realize that he didn't have everything figured out. This woman had nothing and realized she had nothing to lose. We know she suffered for 12 long years with a condition that left her medically and physically and emotionally exhausted and socially cast aside. She was literally alone in her walk. Some of you feel like that, even this morning, that nobody gets what I'm going through. And that may be true, but there's one who's with you. And he will never leave or forsake you. Will never leave or forsake you. He will not. It is against his nature and his character. He will not reject you or abandon you. He will not reject any heartfelt prayers that cry out to him. He will hear you. The life of this woman and her circumstances left her helpless and hopeless. All she had heard was there was this great teacher and he heals people. That was Jesus calling right there. See, what I love about her story is he was willing to release his power, but he wasn't satisfied with just healing her. He wanted to have a conversation with her so he could affirm her. Because some of us may get a healing and we might not even know Jesus did it. We have no idea how much Jesus is working behind the scenes to sustain us and strengthen us, even if we're not giving him credit. That's how great his love is. But he also wants to affirm us in our faith, to encourage us to go forward. She lacked social standing, education, friends, but she had humility, and she had courage, and she had faith. She was so humble, she didn't even want to bother the good teacher. She didn't want to disturb him. She didn't think she was even worthy of having that conversation. But she was out of options, probably not feeling too good about herself. She was healed, folks, not by her knowledge, but by her faith. I love her story. I connect more with her story than I do Jairus. Although now that I get older and I'm in the faith, I got to make sure I'm not like Jairus. What I mean is, when I came to Christ, I had tried for so many years to free myself from addiction. I went to doctors, both medical and psychological. I got on medications, and all of these things were proper steps. But they were all driven by my self-effort. The only thing I knew about Jesus, at least I thought I knew, was that he probably didn't want to have a conversation with me because of how I'd lived and the things I had done. What I love about this church is you're a real church. Some of y'all have been some places. Come on now, let's not be too religious. We've been places, but it's not who we are. It's where we've been and what we've done. If we don't overcome the shame of where we've been, we'll never have that conversation with Jesus so he can finish the good work. Some of y'all have lived this. Your testimony is greater than mine. I love it. See, some of us have heard, if you're new to this church thing, some of us have heard if you ask Jesus into your heart, you'll be saved. That's not conversion, that's convenience. I got to say that again. To only ask Jesus into your heart is not conversion. It's convenience. Conversion is when you recognize your true condition and you humble yourself and you offer your life to him. Not asking him to come into your life, you literally are saying, I need to come into yours. We'll talk a little bit about that. Pastor Mark is going to continue to talk about that, what that looks like in his sermon series. So I'm asking you this year, do you only come to Jesus? And you don't have to raise your hand, but do you only come to Jesus when you need something? I can't say the words of Jelly Roll, but it's a good song. It's just a good, yeah, some of y'all were thinking that. But it's true, right? I know I shouldn't just come to him, but the only time I come to you, Jesus, is when I need something. And I know that's not right, but Lord, I need something. That's the Rob paraphrase. But isn't that true? Not always, but most of the time. See, my question is, are you willing this year to have more conversation with him, which looks like prayer? I had a 2-hour conversation with him on a trail in the rain yesterday. Because he and I needed to talk. My wife calls it my Forrest Gump walks. Because I'm not coming back. until I've said everything I need to say, or he tells me something I need to hear. Sometimes you got to have those walks where you get away from life and people, and it's you and Jesus, and you just determine, I'm not going to come back until I'm satisfied that I have expressed everything I need to say, and I now trust him going forward. It's a dedication of your will, but it's empowered by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. So whatever your goals end up being this year, have a conversation with him, because you have no idea how much he wants to give you if you keep filling up your time with asking him what you want. He may have something far in great. He said, I come to give you life and life abundant. I think he has more for us than we're willing to ask, but because we don't think we deserve it, we don't even have the conversation. Other of us think we deserve far more than we've gotten, and we need to remember who Jesus is. We're all here on both sides of that coin, right? So whatever you do this year, make your choice radical. Don't settle for the same old, same old. Whether it's you're engaging in his word, that you believe that he cares enough to engage. It's not just a mindless exercise. You're engaging with the truth, the eternal truth of God that does not change and does not waver. It is his truth. It is not for me, it's for you. It's not for somebody else, it's for you. And we also need to trust him way sooner than later. It's one thing to read his word, it's another thing to trust it. Even in our doubt, that's the beauty. Both of those people who came forward had some level of doubt, and Jesus didn't pause and measure it. He took a kernel of faith and loved it and said, watch what I can do with it. If you're just beginning, well, let me say this. I'm asking you to cast aside this half-hearted effort, whatever it's been. It's a new year. It's time to put off the old and put on the new. Whatever that looks like in your life, we need to cast it off, cut it off, so we can walk unencumbered. Now, that doesn't mean your trials and your tribulations have changed. I'm talking about your effort and desire to go after Jesus. See, the woman received instant healing. Praise God for that. But that's not all of our testimony, is it? Sometimes his response is he gives us perseverance and strength beyond measure to persevere until the outcome is decided. Some of y'all have lived through that, right? So sometimes our healing comes in ways that we don't understand. Sometimes he gives us wisdom to figure something out and understand it, even if I can't change it. How many fixers do we have in the room? Okay, I know what the problem is, God, and I know how to fix it. Just hand it to me. Let me have control of it. So what he's teaching me is patience and faith and perseverance and trust. Oswald Chambers said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? We all have faith in good principles, in good management, in good common sense, but who amongst us has faith in Jesus Christ? Physical courage is grand, moral courage even grander, but the man who trusts Jesus Christ in the face of terrific problems of life is worth more than a whole crowd of heroes. It's who Jesus is looking for. So if you're beginning this journey with Jesus, start with belief. If you stick around, Pastor Mark undoubtedly is going to say something to you that's like, I got to do what? Or I'm supposed to believe what? I'm asking you, if you're starting your faith, to first choose to believe the testimony of Jesus Christ. How many in this room would say, I do believe? Raise your hand. Okay. So then what's your next step? It's time for your belief to become your faith. I can regurgitate what I believe, but I got to own it when it's my faith. I got to live it out. I got to be willing to demonstrate it. I got to be willing to risk on it. Faith is in the following, not just the believing, but the following and the trusting beyond what I believe. Faith goes beyond what I can believe. Isn't that crazy? So wherever you are on the journey, praise God, you're on the journey. But let's not get lazy in our belief, because Jesus says to follow me. It's a step up. So the story concludes after that divine interruption. Remember, Jesus was headed to save the child from dying, and he gets interrupted by a woman who grabs his cloak. So now he's back on mission. Verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion. People were crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. Most of us know the rest of the story. He went on to raise this little girl into life. See, I think sometimes we underestimate what Jesus is willing to do for us. What Jairus asked Jesus was to do what? What did he ask him to do? Anybody? Come to his house, heal his daughter. What did Jesus end up giving him? A full-on resurrection. See, sometimes we're just asking for healing. Jesus wants a full resurrection. He wants to completely show us things we've never seen, great and mighty things that we can't even imagine. And I'm telling you this morning that Jesus can also resurrect some dead things in your life. But he can also help you to bury things that should have been dead a long time ago. He can help you to bury sin. He can help you to bury unbelief. He can help you to bury bitterness and unforgiveness. These are the things which we should reckon ourselves dead to sin and be alive in Christ, Romans 6. This is what he can do for us if we just give him a chance. He is a God of death to life, of broken pieces to being fully functional, of sightless or blind to see, ears to hear. He literally is a God of death to life. And he also is the third character in the story. So anytime you read in the Bible this year, look for Jesus. Where is he in the story? He's always more than he thinks he is, than we think he is. He's willing to ignore our fear and our doubt. He ignored the fear and the doubt of a learned man. And he ignored the ignorance of a desperate woman. She didn't even know who he was, but she knew he had healing. Maybe you start there. But Jesus also tells us some things. Are you the person in your life that everybody comes to? You don't have to raise your hand, because others may never come to you again. Are you the person that tends people to migrate to you to ask you to for advice or friendship or leadership? Are you that person? Praise God. God's put you in a place to help people. So here's what I want to remind us who are in the helping of people business. Jesus was willing to be interrupted. It's a good thing to set your goals, but don't miss the opportunity for the opportunities right in front of you. Love the people you're with. It is good to have goals, but don't miss those opportunities that are right in front of you to love them and to point them to Jesus. A dear friend of ours who's no longer with us, we adopted a phrase, love like Laura. Reckless. Kind of crazy sometimes in the way she loved. but to love like Laura with wisdom loves like Jesus. It's not an either or, it's both, right? Jesus told Jairus, do not fear, just believe. Stand firm in your belief. In John, he wrote, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. Stop trying to figure out all the problems, guys. They're going to continue to multiply. You're running up a hill that just gets taller. Stand firm this morning and believe that the one who he sent is your Jesus. He is your Savior. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is nothing too great for him. And there's nothing he's not willing to do for you and in you to bring life. So while I'm working on this sermon, last weekend, we took our family to the Hyatt for the weekend. Lots of things for the kids to do, lots of energy to expend, in case you haven't been down there. The first night I was there, I happened to see a familiar face of a guy I had not seen in 5-6 years, probably. He greeted me. He was there with his family and his kids, but we didn't have a chance to talk. But seeing him reminded me of the couple that got away. If you talk to any old baseball coaches or whatever, they don't remember the victories as much as the defeats. And when I saw him, I was joyful to see him. He looked good, but it reminded me that last I heard, they were gone separate ways with separate people, announcing it on Facebook. That was the last I had seen of him. And even though I was there with my family, it just kind of grieved me a little bit. Like, Lord, but that one. I prayed about that. I've seen you do miracles. How come you didn't do it then? The next morning, it was early, and I was by myself actually preparing on a sermon of faith. This is how God works in my life. He rocks me when I'm doing sermon prep for you guys. So this is not as easy for me as it might be for you, okay? But I love how faithful he is. And as I'm sitting there trying to come up with the notes, the gentleman walks by himself, and we're alone. And he comes over and greets me, and I said, man, you look good. He said, yeah, you look good too. He said, well, we finally got our stuff together. I said, who's we, brother? He said, my wife and I. We've been together for over a year. We're doing good. The kids are doing great. We just bought a house. I mean, God is so faithful. I'm not saying to you he's going to answer every prayer. But please remember that the prayers that you deposited are still heard. That he is faithful. Now, for them, that was the answer to my prayer. My prayer was for them to find Jesus. Quite honestly, I want them to find Jesus. I wanted them to reconcile, but I wanted them to find Jesus, because if they find Jesus, they will reconcile. God doesn't forget your prayers. As you can see, we all have room to grow, because I had written that one off. And God had to remind me, I'm still here, son. Still in the job, long after you're tired and giving up, I'm still here. And I'm saying he's still here for you too. Since we hopefully acknowledge that we all have some room to grow this year, I think most of us in the church want to be more like the woman of faith in the story. We want to have that radical, if I just touch him, I'll be good. I think most of us are like Jairus. We're still living within the comfort of our Jesus box that we know. We don't want to appear to be too radical. We don't want to be a Bible thumper. You ever been called a Bible thumper? That's an old term. But most of us don't go to Jesus radically until we've run out of our own resources. And I'm saying to you, don't wait that long. My prayer is that you seek him continually. So here's some things we can grow. See, the woman who was healed, she now needed to rearrange and learn how to live in Jesus. She had no knowledge. You talk about a young disciple. You ever take somebody off the street or somebody who just got radically lifted from addiction? They need help in knowing how to grow and walk with Jesus. They need knowledge. Jairus, who now saw this miracle, he had to radically change his theology. Some of y'all need to radically adjust your theology. Jesus is bigger than your theology, but he's also willing to teach you. See, these are areas of discipleship that I'm just inviting you guys to consider this year. If you come from a place that Jesus has done miracles in my life, then dive deeper into the knowledge of how to live in him, how to help others grow in him. If you come from a church background and you got your theology set, then take a look at your faith and your service. Are you willing to step into the mission field? Are you willing to lead classes? Are you willing to do something that is outside your comfort zone so that you can continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus? I know Pastor Mark in the coming weeks is going to offer some ideas on this, what it is to grow. My job is just to open the invitation. I'm believing for this church. You guys have come so far and you have done so many things. You are well respected within this community of believers in Easton. And also see a lot of mature people here that are untapped in what you're able to do for the body of Christ. Next week, where's Harry? There he is, okay. I told him I was going to. It's not only announcements, but next week there's a multi-church men's breakfast. It's a pretty cool thing to hang out in. If you have any interest, it's down in Cambridge, but it's lots of different churches. And I'm saying to you, it might expand your territory for you men. I'm sure they have women's events too. I don't hang out with the women in those things. The men, we need to have some refreshing of our spirit and maybe give us some ideas on some other men we can hang out with. The food's going to be off the charts. It always is. If you have any interest in going, it's next Saturday, but check with Harry. He can give you the details. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your mercy in this story. Not just this one, but all the examples in the Bible, Lord, you are increasing our knowledge in hopes to increase our faith. So I pray this morning that we will not leave this place without setting our sight and our mind firmly toward you. We know that whatever you have for us is good, so Lord, bring it. We know that you have life-sustaining knowledge and wisdom, but Lord, we also first need a touch. And we ask you, even as we are singing, Lord, this final song, we ask you to help us to dedicate our life and our purpose to you so that we can give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.